gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, jam-packed celebrity hotline today. Johnny Simons, director of Ask Not, the new Don't Ask, Don't Tell documentary.
Yes.
Fabulous.
It's going to be on PBS.
Yes, at the bottom of next hour. And then in the hour number three, comedian Hal Sparks, our buddy, our pal, to talk about all things in the news. Speaking of which, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. The president opened the liar cannon against the healthcare naysayers yesterday.
So, when you hear the naysayers claim that I'm trying to bring about government-run healthcare, know this. They're not telling the truth.
Know this.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Liars. You know who you are, and you know who you want. Ain't nobody gonna change that.
You're a bald-faced liar. A f***ing liar.
Don't you wish he had my box with him yesterday?
Yes.
I do.
Huh?
And
John might have something to say about that.
Yeah, you didn't have your box with you yesterday?
No.
What happened to it?
It was in the shop.
Oh.
Okay, I'm a dinner jacket.
Getting an oil and lube job?
Mm-hmm. I'm a dinner jacket who, as you know, won a landslide.
Whatever.
In Iran, said people are just excited, Jim, like at soccer matches.
In a football match, some 50,000 to 70,000 fans participate, and then they get overwhelmed by passion, and because of that, they will show some reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, reaction to have the election stolen.
How it is when you win a 2-1 landslide when 70% of the country is young and they refer your opponent, there was an 85% turnout, and somehow...
And the opponents lost in their own home districts.
Yeah.
Their hometowns.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's that's when he got rocked.
I'm a dinner jacket.
Yeah, we got... See, you rock him because he's an I'm a dinner jacket. All right. Meanwhile, wow, David Letterman apologized again last night. Did you see to Sarah Palin? But that doesn't stop the likes of Sean Hannity.
The Fire David Letterman movement is growing. Outraged citizens are now calling for the late-night talk show host to get booted off the air for his remarks that he made last week about Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's teenage daughter and about the governor herself. Now, protesters will gather outside of Mr. Letterman's CBS studio tomorrow and make themselves heard.
And I paid them personally, written them all checks to show up.
Outraged citizens like him and John Ziegler, the
right-wing
whack job. He's behind the Fire Letterman movement,
I paid them for the fake outrage.
He's the one that did the how mean the media was to Sarah Palin film.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
By filming her when she spoke.
Yeah.
Still think Greta Van Susteren's behind it all.
Yeah,
seriously.
Exactly.
I mean, she just rails against Letterman every single night. Won't stop about it.
We'll
it must be the affair she's allegedly carrying on with Todd.
Interesting.
We have at least 10 instances, Jim, where people have told exactly the same or even worse jokes about Sarah Palin's daughter.
Somehow that didn't...
That didn't take.
No.
Okay. Oh, our right-wing friends. We love them, don't we? Boy, I got to tell you, this rash of like right-wing violence, which is exactly what was in this Homeland Security report, which, you know, Republicans acted all huffy and offended over. This is getting beyond frightening to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just one a week, Jim. It's not just Dr. Tiller and then the Pittsburgh shooting, the cop killer, a leader of the Minutemen American Defense Group is in an Arizona jail. See, I've been saying this for a while, is the problem is the rhetoric coming from the official mainstream Republicans is not that different than the lunatic fringe.
You routinely attack people on the left, Jane Ann Garofalo, Michael Moore, who you think their rhetoric leads potentially to violence. It never has led to one act of violence, but you've already driven that crazy guy in Knoxville last year who read your writings and then went and shot up a church and shot liberals. That's already happened once, and you don't feel any responsibility at all now that it's happened a second time, Bill?
I don't know what that means.
Civil unrest will happen.
He cannot take this truth I'm dropping on him.
We're running out of time, but if he wants to...
Nazi, you backed his career.
Lie,
you
and you've
me.
Been reading the websites, my friend.
You can't handle
good
me.
Try.
You can't handle the truth.
Wow.
Listen to Ken in Cleveland. Thank you. Oh.
It's not often you hear Red Ryder anymore.
You just don't.
No, you don't.
All right. Mama got back on the MSNBC yesterday.
You were all over the Ed.
With it's my favorite, because, you know, I guess I shouldn't say this, but, Jim, it's the, because, you know, you work in the TV and the film industry. It's
sometimes.
The thousand-year-old Austrian makeup guy that doesn't actually do hair or many of the modern makeup things. So I usually get a few letters. What happened to you? But other than that,
someone
the
on
content
the,
was fine.
Someone on the live blog said you actually looked like an adult yesterday.
Oh, that's because I didn't get fake eyelashes and stuff I'm used to.
Yeah, I thought you
any
looked,
of the magical.
I thought you looked really, really good, actually.
Oh.
I did.
I'll tell him.
Your hair looked great.
He has. I always get concerned when they have Coke bottle glasses. No offense. When he's squinting because he can't exactly see. Sometimes I have giant smudges and I have to tell him. I'm like, is that big black thing supposed to be there? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought that was a mole.
Okay. Anyway, the point is the content was good. Okay.
Stephanie, good to have you on the program tonight. What are you hearing from your listeners? Do they believe that the Democrats are going to get this, or should I say the majority party, are they going to get this thing done for the people?
You know, Ed, I got to tell you, I agree with you. Whatever health care plan we decide on, I hope it includes a spinal transplant for Democrats. I know you were in my hometown of Buffalo ripping it up this weekend, and that's the exact same thing I hear on my radio show, the same thing you're hearing. The American people are more liberal than the Democrats in Congress. I heard Howard Dean say today, Ed, we don't need Republican votes. And this co-op plan, this watered-down thing, is not going to work. We need a public plan.
All right, that drew my bad makeup job. All right.
You're good.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Oh, we have a sort of a complaint letter. Josh in Cooper City. His mom is like you, Chris, and my mom, from the Grammar Police.
Yes.
Hi, Steph. I introduced my mom to your show via the Stephcast and shirt. Shameless plug for Stephcast here. Oh, okay. $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
It's about a bargoon.
Mm-hmm. And she found you, quote, witty, intelligent, charming, and your use of facts refreshing.
Wow. Was she listening to the right show?
Shush, Jim. However, as Commandant of the Grammar Police, she wants to pull the show over. Uh-oh, pull us over. In order to correct a teeny tiny mistake you recently made. So unusual. When speaking to right-wing Morans about the current unemployment situation, you said, isn't losing less jobs better?
Fewer jobs.
Oh, yeah, see? Can't believe one of you two didn't correct that. While I find your appraisal of the situation to be correct, I was unable to listen to the next 5 minutes as the commandant started shrieking she didn't say that correctly. Perplexed, I asked her to explain. Big mistake on my part.
Yeah.
So after a half-hour grammar-based rant, I came away with the following knowledge. Less versus fewer.
Yes.
The former refers to an amount, degree, or value. The latter is used in reference to something countable or a specific number. Oh, dear. So please query the right ringers, isn't losing fewer jobs better? By doing so, you will enable me to fully enjoy the fantastic value that the Stephcast represents at only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance, and allow the Commandant to concentrate on the funny and lighten up a bit. Regards, Josh. P.S. I have blind copied my mom on this email, so I fully expect to have a copy printed out with corrections in red ink and placed conspicuously on my desk. Thank you, Josh.
For example, you should drink less wine but fewer glasses of wine.
Yes.
For instance, I wish I would get fewer of those kinds of letters.
I was so proud of my local Trader Joe's. They changed the sign from 12 items or less to 12 items
fewer.
Or fewer.
Wow.
They put a little sign over less that said fewer.
You
like,
are such a sad little man.
I wonder if they did that at my Trader Joe's. I'll have to go berate them if they don't.
Yes.
You know what he deprives his cat Jazz of, right? Whiskas. Because it's not spelled
not
correctly.
Spelled correctly.
It's not. I hate any product that makes you sound like a New Yorker.
You
seriously?
It's meant to be cute and ironic.
For the hour.
Yeah,
it's whiskers for the hour.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I dare you to call them and say, you know, it's whiskers.
Oh, you want to hear from Grammar Police?
They'll be like, we know, sir.
It's deliberate. It's not a typo.
Okay.
No,
right.
She went and corrected the sign on an apartment building. She actually went to the manager because it said ce soir as if it were a reflexive verb, as in knight oneself.
Oh, really?
S-E instead of C-E.
Oh, no.
So the Grammar Police strike
French
again.
French Grammar Police, no
I'm going to see my 86-year-old Republican mom in Charlotte, North Carolina on Friday.
Oh, really?
She is a proud member of the Grammar Police as well.
Oh, well. Oh, dear.
You remember, she would routinely correct me in school. No, 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 dear. You and Carol were almost raped. Okay, Mom, but my point... Let's stop for a second.
Me
my point...
Me and Carol almost got raped, Mom.
Is that we need some sort of police. Okay.
Remember, you were the baby of the family. By the time the baby of the family
she
comes
didn't
around...
She didn't care about the content.
Exactly. She lets you juggle knives or whatever, as long as you do it with...
Yes.
Correct grammar.
Correct grammar.
Yes.
I'm juggling fewer knives than I was yesterday. And I have fewer fingers than I did yesterday as well.
All right, let's check some entertainment news.
But I'm in less pain, thanks to all the wine.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, get ready to say... Michael Jackson is being trained by Lou Ferrigno.
What? I thought that if he picked up a weight, his bone would break.
Just snap. Yeah, like that movie Unbreakable. Like Samuel Jackson's. the Incredible Hulk actor, a former Mr. Universe, is paying secret visits to the Thriller star's Los Angeles home to help him prepare for his upcoming concerts in London. Lou has been visiting Michael to build him up so he can perform his dance routines. But Michael refuses to lift weights. He doesn't want to bulk up.
Yeah,
because he's already so
bulky.
Yeah. Can't even fit in a dance belt. He weighs a reported 126 pounds and eats just one meal a day.
And he's tall, too, isn't
he? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I think one of my legs weighs 126 pounds.
Michael and Lou stuck up... I just love this line. They struck up a friendship 2 years ago when the singer began using the actor's gym. Michael Jackson goes to a public
gym? Really?
Excuse me, you're done with the leg press? Wow. Okay.
Snap.
Snap. All right. We have Michael, I believe.
I'm eternally grateful to Mr. Lou Ferrigno for the training he's been giving me to get ready for my tour. People think I'm just a 98-pound weakling, but that's just ignorant. I'm a 126-pound weakling, and Lou is making me very strong. At first, I was afraid he would make me lift those nasty iron weights all day long, and I would get all bulky and turn green. But he decided to tailor my workouts to my lifestyle, so he set aside a special area for me and installed a whole bunch of young children for me to lift. It makes doing bench presses so much fun. Also the clean and jerk.
Oh, no.
But I insisted he eliminate the overhead snatch. Mikey doesn't play that. That'd be devilish. We keep to a regular schedule to avoid overdoing the training. We work really, really hard doing little boy curls, and then afterwards I just beat it. With my training partners, of course. Then we practice the splits, and the number one and two and three and four positions. Then we practice the dancing. Lou's great, but I wish he didn't have to shout. Sometimes I get angry. He doesn't like me when I get angry. Right, Lou?
Shamu.
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 Shamwow.
Shamu.
You're devilish.
I'm devilish?
Exactly.
You would think he would work out at our B Celebrity Gym, where Fabio and Faye Dunaway... workout.
Wow.
And the Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
I see him there every day.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And finally, Susan Boyle is set to sing herself to financial freedom. She's charging $12,000 a minute to perform live on the corporate event circuit. She's being booked by corporate clients for $150,000 for a 12-minute set. Former Scott. Sean Connery.
Former?
He's a current Scott. He's a current Scott and a former Bond. What?
Oh, aye. If there's ever a time to be proud you're a Scot, it's now. Susan Boyle forever. Take that, you Sassenach twits. Yes, Daniela, I'm talking to you. Take a good long look at what true talent is. Sturdy, homely, clunky, with great big eyebrows and a frumpy house dress. And she's still going to make a million faster than you can shake the dew off your lily.
Huh?
You can peddle your poofter behind from now till the day Simon Cowell trades in his T-shirt for a shroud. And you'll still not get near the pile of boodle that old girl's going to collect. She's the embodiment of Scotland. Rough and ready, with a face like a Highland crag and a voice like an angel. It's a shame it took another Ponzi Sassenach boofty to recognise true talent. That big girl's blouse, Simon Cowell. Who at least has the business sense to recognise you have to strike while the iron's hot. Talking of which, now that you've left the Bond franchise a steaming hunk of wreckage, perhaps it's time you branched out a wee bit. I hear the role of Lara Croft is open, what with Angelina collecting wee bairns like beer coasters. Or perhaps Disney wants to do a remake of Pollyanna. I can't wait to see you on a pinafore with a ribbon in your golden locks. Or maybe someone will drop you in the middle of the Amazonian jungle for the new reality series. I'm a great Nancy boy poofter who's seen more than a second-hand dartboard.
Oh.
I'll be sure.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall. There's a tile ad on StephanieMiller.com.
Yes.
Check it out. 21 minutes after the hour, right back with the Letterman and Palin feud, part 7000, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Time. You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. You can't touch this.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. I get it. Because MC Hammer is reuniting with Vanilla Ice.
Were they ever an item?
For a reality show.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Were they ever together?
No, I mean they're performing together.
Oh, you said reuniting.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah, exactly. Please, Hammer, don't hurt him.
Don't hammer the ice.
I hope that young MC isn't listening, who is a fan.
Yes.
He lives in Phoenix.
Yes.
I love MC Hammer.
Wow, God!
He has lined up another collaboration with Vanilla Ice on an upcoming episode of his new... he has a Hammer Time show, Hammer Time, on A&E. The program follows him and his wife and their 7 kids. Yikes.
Wow. Oh, dear.
Ring the bell. School's always in.
Sucker.
They're up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Millie Vanilli wasn't available. Oh, wait.
Oh, dear.
He
said, get ready for the big reunion with me and Vanilla Ice that can't be missed. Well, it can. But I would.
I plan on it.
Computer says no.
No, I would not miss it.
Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something.
Love the hammer. Okay, Dory in Salem. I know, that one's ice. I understand.
Okay, gotcha.
Dory in Salem, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama and beloved Mookies.
Yes.
In the Palin Letterman dust-up number 14,000,
mm-hmm.
I have a theory that this is personal because Letterman pretty much helped tank McCain's campaign.
Well, McCain helped tank McCain's campaign by not showing up on Letterman
right,
and then doing an interview that he could
like
see on
a week.
On the CBS feed with Katie Couric, yes.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, he hammered at it for a week at
right.
least.
Right.
And I think, you know, she thinks that maybe he took her little pageant crown away.
Yeah, she's having a bigger fit than Miss California over losing her little pageant crown.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Who knows? But this has just gone beyond ridiculous. I'll get to it later, but there's a great piece on Huffington Post. There's at least 10 times the jokes were told exactly
right.
the same or worse.
Yes.
That never got any attention. This is so just blatantly political.
Yeah.
And to me...
ginned up fake outrage.
Yes, but I've said it over and over again. They're the ones dragging their 14-year-old through this.
Uh-huh. Yep.
They've made this a huge national story that won't go away that now she's got to endure in school, wherever. No one said anything about the joke because no one thought it was about the 14-year-old. 28 minutes after the hour, back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Would you do me the very great honor of eating my shorts?
All right.
No, I just ate next.
Had that for breakfast. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The Little Fockers is almost out.
I beg your pardon? Excuse me? I beg your pardon?
Ball Success. The movie, you know, the sequel to Meet the Fockers.
Oh, yeah.
Little Fockers. Listen to this. It'll examine the themes of death and divorce.
That's hilarious.
The third movie will focus on more serious topics, but the writer says they promise to deal with them in a really comic way.
Hey!
In the way that death and divorce are really funny. Okay.
Wow. Are Barbara Streisand and Dustin Hoffman going to be playing the parents?
I do not know.
Oh, I hope so.
I don't know. Oh, bust out the tiny violin because, you know, kids, times are hard even for the big celebrities. Mel Gibson has had to take $5 million off his mansion price in Greenwich, Connecticut. Yes. It's now only $37.5
million. Oh.
You have that on you, don't you, Jim?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Left in my other pants.
It's a Bargoon now.
Yes.
15-bedroom estate in Greenwich, Connecticut. Let's see. It has 6 fireplaces, 18 bathrooms.
Who the hell needs 18 bathrooms?
That's what I always wonder. Why do celebrity houses have so many bathrooms? Are all the wives bulimic or what?
Are all the Russian pop stars bulimic?
A tennis court, a private
pond. Maybe they didn't wash their hands after handling raw meat.
Staff house. Oh, whatever. Also the house. I don't know. Speaking of Mel Gibson's girlfriend, you know, she's a pianist.
A what?
A pianist, sorry?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I said. She's a singer. She's a, she will, as her album is coming out, Say My Name. That's the first single from her forthcoming album. She wrote all the songs except that one that she collaborated with Gibson on, Say My Name. I wonder where that came from, Jim. Where do you think the idea sprang from Say My Name?
Say my name.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, Daddy.
I can't move my foot.
Oh, Daddy.
My
foot. Oh, God. Oh, you're good. Oh, my God.
It might have come from Destiny's Child because they had a major hit.
Say My Name.
Yeah,
Say My
hit
name.
Song with that title.
Don't you wish someone would write a song called You're On My Foot? I wish they would.
Yes.
Okay.
In Britney, Russian.
Yes. Britney Spears is set to mark the end of the current leg of her Circus World Tour by renting out an entire resort in Thailand.
And who doesn't do that?
She will treat the entire crew and performing cast to the break. See, I should do
would
that.
Would there be ping pong balls involved?
We have vacation coming up in a couple of weeks. I should rent out an entire island for us.
Not enough time to go to Thailand.
Yeah.
You'd have to turn right around and come back.
Come back. Because it takes 3 days to get there. Via steamship.
In a related story, I'm taking you two to TGI Fridays to celebrate victory. And that's it. All right.
Will you spring for the awesome blossom?
Sure.
Thank you. At least.
Mm-hmm. This is Sarah Palin.
Well, you got his Outback Steakhouse and have a blooming onion.
This is a David Letterman, Sarah Palin story has gotten just beyond ridiculous. So it's the fire David Letterman .com or
whatever.
I know. Let's take the most successful late night show we have and ruin it because some Yahoo.
Yeah.
Didn't like a joke she heard or thought she heard.
FireDavidLetterman.com. They're organizing a rally outside Letterman studio today.
Even after he apologized last night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sponsored by, that's weird, a Republican New York State Assemblyman and right-wing whack John Ziegler, who did the poor Sarah Palin film.
And I'm sure that Greta Van Susteren has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
She's being such a skank about this.
The right-wing
tool
lawmaker said firing Mr. Letterman would send a clear message that CBS will not tolerate any of its employees, even an established media figure like Mr. Letterman, making demeaning and degrading comments about women.
Oh, shut up. He did nothing of the sort.
David Letterman last night.
I had no idea that anybody was at the ball game except the governor, and I was told at the time that she was there with Rudy Giuliani. And that's right. And I really should have made the joke about Rudy.
Okay, that was funny.
It was indeed. And then he went on to directly apologize to Governor Palin and her daughters.
So I would like to apologize, especially to the two daughters involved, Bristol and Willow, and also to the governor and her family and everybody else who was outraged by the joke. I'm sorry about it, and I'll try to do better in the future. Thank you very much.
No, you won't, because you'll be fired. Because you're a hater. We hate you.
He really went above and beyond. He said, I told a joke that was beyond flawed. My intent is completely meaningless compared to the perception. Blah, blah, blah. You know, they're going after advertisers now. He said it was a coarse joke, a bad joke, but I never thought it was about anybody other than the older daughter. And before the show, I checked to make sure that, in fact, she was of legal age, 18. He said the joke really in and of itself can't be defended. I felt that I need to do the right thing here and apologize for having told that joke. It's not your fault that it was misunderstood. It was my fault that it was misunderstood. Blah, blah, blah. Would you like
the
fun facts?
By the way, the age of consent, I believe, is 16 in Alaska.
It is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We found that out.
Yes, we did.
And so did Levi Johnson, much to his relief.
Yeah.
Here are the...
dodge that bullet. Thought I was going to have to flee on my snow machine.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
All right, here are the fun facts. Huffington Post, great piece on the top 10 reasons Sarah Palin's outrage is a little misplaced and a little late.
Yeah.
Number 10, last September, a skit on SNL suggested incest in the Palin family. What about the husband, asks a mock Times reporter. You know he's doing those daughters. I mean, come on, it's Alaska. No outrage. Sarah Palin appeared on the show 1 month later.
Yep.
Number 9, days after the announcement of Bristol's pregnancy, Conan O'Brien said it's true. John McCain's running mate, Alaska's Governor Sarah Palin, has revealed her 17-year-old daughter is pregnant. Palin said we should never have introduced her to John Edwards.
Oh, dear.
No outrage there. Number 8, from two different Tonight shows. Jay said, Governor Palin announced a 17-year-old unmarried daughter is 5 months pregnant. Oh, boy, you thought John Edwards was in trouble before. Now he's really done it. That was the number 2 John Edwards joke. And how about this one? All the Republicans are heaping praise on Governor Palin. Fred Thompson said, as an actor, he could see them making a movie about Sarah Palin and her family. Didn't they already make that movie? I think it was called Knocked Up.
Hey. Huh.
Craig Ferguson's skit of Larry King versus Levi Johnson asks about kinky sex with the drapes open. Craig Ferguson's honorary Alaska citizenship granted by Governor Palin was not rescinded over that joke.
Wow.
Number 6, according to expense reports, Sarah Palin charged the state of Alaska over $21,000 for her children to travel with her on official business. In fairness to Governor Palin, when she leaves them home alone, they get pregnant. Seth Meyers told that joke on SNL. Sarah Palin was in a sketch with Meyers 1 week later. Number 5, on October 8, 2008... Conan O'Brien said Saturday night Sarah Palin is going to drop the first puck at the Philadelphia Flyers hockey game. Then Palin will spend the rest of the game trying to keep the hockey players out of her daughter's penalty box.
Oh. Somehow, no outrage.
Yes. The Huffington Post writer also points out the lack of outrage over Rush Limbaugh. You might recall on his ill-fated TV show saying, everyone knows the Clintons have a cat. Sox is the White House cat. But did you know there's a White House dog? He put up a picture of Chelsea Clinton. Chelsea at the time, of course, 13 years old.
That's right.
And just FYI, not pregnant. Just a regular 13-year-old.
Not sleeping around.
The famous joke that the media covered up, the liberal media, Jim, when John McCain said, why is Chelsea Clinton so ugly? Because her father is Janet Reno. That also when Chelsea Clinton was just a child. Number 2, Palin's friend, political defender, and informer of the David Letterman comments, John Ziegler, who was fired from his radio show. There was a number of reasons I didn't heard this one, but for using the N-word online and on air in 1997. In 2000, he was fired for spelling the N-word on the air.
I think now he was fired for worse reasons.
There's a lot of stuff. We can't talk about it. Anyway, he's pimping his film now about how mean the liberal media was to Sarah Palin. And the number one reason Sarah Palin's outrage is misplaced and a little late. Number one, remember she said, oh, they didn't do it to Barack Obama. He's the candidate who must be obeyed. He was actually talking about Palin's family when he said kids are off limits. You remember Jake Tapper of NBC News said Governor Palin, talked about, issued a statement saying their daughter is pregnant. Do you have any reaction? Obama at the time said, I have said before and I'll repeat again, I think people's families are off limits and people's children are especially off limits. This shouldn't be part of our politics. So I would strongly urge people to back off these kinds of stories. So he was talking about her family.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, God. He wasn't saying to back off his own kids. He was asking the media to back off Sarah Palin's kids.
That's right. Wow.
In a stroke of decency that God, apparently went unnoticed by her. Okay. 42 minutes after the hour.
God, the hypocrisy is just so
yes,
thick. It's making
it's
me...
Yes, it's a...
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
All right. President Obama took his push for health care reform to America's doctors yesterday, AMA. We'll tell you what he said next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Johnny Simons, director of Ask Not, the new
Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Exactly. Documentary coming up on PBS on the Celebrity Hotline next hour.
I can't wait to see it.
Fabulous new film. I've heard it's great.
Yeah.
I've heard it's great and a very hot issue these days.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right.
And then Hal Sparks in hour 3.
That's right, on the Celebrity Hotline.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The show's going to explode.
Exactly, it may.
Oh, there it went.
Oh, well. Okay. All right. This is good news. I think on June 24th, that's coming up, ABC News and Obama are going to host a healthcare town hall at the White House. The president will take questions from an audience made up of Americans selected by ABC News who have divergent opinions in this historic debate. Because, you know, I was on Ed Schultz's show yesterday, and he just did a town hall in my hometown in Buffalo this past weekend.
He tore it up.
Yes, and he's been saying the same thing that we've been saying forever, is that, you know, the American people are more liberal than the Democrats in Congress. Mm-hmm. I don't get this either. I'm with Ed on that. I don't get them saying, oh, we don't have the votes, or, oh, we don't really, oh, we can't. And they're going to water the whole thing down to do this bipartisan outreach that has gotten a huge middle finger from the Republicans for this president. And the American people want health care. They really do. They want, in fact, they want single payer. I think Ed said it's, what, 63% right now? You know, and that's not even, like Jim said, that's not even on the table anymore. So, you know, the public plan is the least we can do. I think it was Howard Dean I was quoting yesterday talking about this, you know, the compromise, the co-op thing.
Yeah.
He said it's not going to work. He said we have the votes. We ought to just pass meaningful health care reform with a public option.
A lot of politicians are in the back pocket of the insurance industry.
Well, yeah, that's one of the problems. I mean, that's the problem. You know, when you heard some boos from this the AMA yesterday, you know, during the Obama speech, because there's so many competing groups. That's the problem. You can't keep everybody happy. You know, what do you call it? He was talking about damages and malpractice cases, which he wants to work with them on. My brother-in-law is a doctor. I know it's a problem, you know, the cost of malpractice insurance. But, you know, then you've got trial lawyers, unions, consumer groups. You know, every group in the healthcare debate has a wish list and a priority. They, you know, insurers don't want competition from the government. Employers don't want to be told they have to offer medical coverage. Hospitals want to stave off Medicare cuts. Drug companies want to charge what the market will bear. So that's the whole, how'd you like to be him? You know, you can't give everybody everything they want. But, you know, we got to solve this health care crisis. Ray in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Ray.
Stephanie, great job with Ed last night. You were brilliant.
No, thank you. I don't know about that.
By the way, you have two faces. The one Stephanie who's a progressive warrior on late night TV, and then you got Stephanie fart jokes. So good job.
Yes, I have to stow the fart jokes when I go on TV. Although I have been known to squeeze one in. When it's warranted.
Okay, squeeze one out.
Get cracking.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Ray. Yes, the president yesterday.
We are not a nation that accepts nearly 46 million uninsured men, women, and children. We are not a nation that lets hardworking families go without coverage or turns its back on those in need. We're a nation that cares for its citizens. We look out for one another. That's what makes us the United States of America. We need to get this done.
Woo! Wahoo! One expert on public opinion and healthcare said it's a coalition issue. No major group is able by itself to sink health reform, but if numbers of them come together for different reasons, it could really hurt the direction the president wants to go in. You know, you look at what happened in the 90s with the Clintons, again, like good, you know, intentions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the president.
We listen to you. We trust you. That's why I will listen to you and work with you to pursue reform that works for you.
Yeah, I got to say, he has a way of talking to people that, you know, is inclusive. What they'll actually do, I don't know. But he said we need to obviously implement effective health care reform. He said in order to do that, we're going to need the help of the AMA. He said, my signature on a bill is not enough. I need your help, doctors. To most Americans, like he just said, you are the health care system. We do what you recommend. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. We trust doctors. That's why I'll listen to you, work with you, yada, yada. And together, if we can take these steps, we can bring spending down, bring quality up, save hundreds of billions of dollars on health care costs while making our system work better for patients and doctors alike. Dr. Dean yesterday, this is the point he made that I thought was really good. He said what they have, the Democrats, he said they have a Senate problem. This isn't going to solve the American problem of health care. They're trying to figure out, oh, what's, you know, how many votes can we get here and what can we do here and what's Esmeralda going to want, Senator Ghostly? You know, that's always what does Senator Collins need? That's instead of what does America need on health care reform?
But that's how politics is played in America, unfortunately.
But he also is saying the same thing Ed Schultz is. They have the votes.
Yeah, they do.
You know, they need to
grow a spine. Unless some blue dogs don't.
Yeah.
But he said we could even lose a couple Democratic votes. We can still get this done. And this is largely, I mean, how much do you need when 65% of the American people want a health care plan that's more liberal than what you're even proposing?
There are more than just a couple blue dog Democrats, though.
That could
cross over.
I trust Dr. Dean's counting skills more than yours. Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I'll just be over here then.
Dave in Chicago.
Oh, Stephanie, and this is an adjunct to the whole health care debate. On the news this morning, Senate Democrats have adopted McCain's plan to to tax health care benefits.
Nice.
And I'm a small employer, and that's one of the few things I can offer my people and offer myself. And the incentive disappears when they start to tax the health care benefits.
I know. I agree with Chris Dodd on that. He said, you know, we don't have to do that. I mean, look, Joe Biden said that. This is not what that's the problem, is I know what you mean. You have to listen to all these things to compromise, and it's not what the president wants. It's not what the White House wants. Chris Dodd said, I don't think we need to do that. There's other ways to pay for it, and yet, you know, how much are we going to give up, right, to get health care? Republicans, of course, lining up behind the appointed political attack line. Barack Obama's nationalizing the American industry and socializing medicine.
And he's doing no such thing. Do these people know what socialism is?
Yeah,
no, they don't care. It's just a buzzword.
It is a buzzword.
Did you see that hilarious thing, the thing that Reagan voiced, the ad about socializing the country that he voiced back in whenever it was? It's hilarious about with the scary music and socializing medicine. Well, it's the first step.
First step towards communism.
But it really is. It's like the same thing they're doing now. They're drawing on the government's ownership stakes in the insurance companies, banks, and auto giants, which, of course, they don't want.
Right.
And, like, again, Joe Biden said, he said this is temporary. They don't want to run these things. He said, what do you call it? This is only temporary. They don't want to be in this business. He said, this is on Meet the Press, excuse me. They view their ownership role as temporary necessity. He said, we get the heck out as quickly as we can. As the president says, we don't want any part in running any of these companies.
Yep.
Like they wanted to be handed all these broken companies in this broken economy. James Inhofe, he of the...
The perfect family tree.
He brought a chart to show the superiority of his family tree, which is free of all things icky.
Yep. No pink fruit hanging from that tree.
No. No of the homosexes or the divorce or anything like that.
No.
Any non-white people.
He said government meddling in the private sector is a bridge to socialism. The boner said it's time to get the government out of the bailout business once and for all. Healthcare reform is not a bailout. You know?
And that was started by George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Yes,
boner.
Exactly. I was just going to make that point. Those all started on George Bush. Huh. Interestingly enough. You don't think the boner had anything to say about it then, did he?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
All he did was bend over.
Here's you know, I said this on Ed's show yesterday, because what's her name, whoever the right-wing radio
Heidi
tool was.
Something or other.
Ho. Heidi Ho. She...
Hi-de-ho.
Exactly. She said, you know, she goes, oh, no, you don't need our votes. Go ahead, and you're going to own it, and it's going to fail. This should show you. This is what they want.
Heidi Harris.
But Rush Limbaugh wants Obama to fail on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
They want him to fail on health care, and then we all fail. But it shows you how – that's why I'm saying, why are we still reaching out for their votes? When they want us to fail.
Yep.
They want America to fail in health care and the economy so
They've
that they can
money.
Win.
They don't care.
And by the way, Leon Panetta should not have retracted that.
No.
He's exactly right. Dick Cheney wants to win politically. That's exactly what he wants.
And if it takes another terrorist attack, he'll take it.
Yes.
And he asked for one before in the Project for the New American Century.
One strategist said if Obama's perceived as fixing the economy and bringing about improvements in the healthcare system, it will be difficult for Republicans to make gains on these issues. That's exactly it. They're not for you. They're for their political party, which right now hinges on him failing. Frank Luntz, you know, the Republican consultant, he suggests Republicans use the term Washington takeover. It's all politics with these people.
It's not really about
people not dying from lack of health care in this country anymore. Mitch McChinless said the vast majority of Americans who like health care the way they have it risk losing it when a government plan system takes over.
Oh,
hey.
A government system is not going to take over.
Mitch
it is
McChinless.
Simply an option.
That's exactly. That's what I said yesterday on TV.
God.
That's why the second part of that phrase is public
option,
which thereby implies that would be one option.
Stalin is socialist, communist.
They just don't want competition,
do government.
They?
No.
Run for your lives!
57 minutes after the hour. Stand Up News is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, I'm
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. A jam-packed celebrity hotline coming up at the bottom of the hour. Johnny Simons, director of Asks Not, a new Don't Ask, Don't Tell documentary. Very timely, very fabulous. Going to be on PBS. And then the top of next hour, Hal Sparks, comedian extraordinaire, our buddy, our pal, to talk about all things politics and pop culture. And he will be filling in for us for a week when we're on vacation in a couple of weeks.
That's right. Can't wait.
Stephanie Miller, because we thought Frangel would still be in Costa Rica, but they are recovering from their bug bites.
Yes.
In Costa Rica.
And plus they have like publicity tours and stuff like that, so they couldn't commit to the whole
week. They're too big for us. I saw them on the TV last night. They were talking about, what are those people's names?
Spidey.
Spencer and Heidi.
Spidey.
Exactly.
Is what they call them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were very funny. All right. Stephanie Miller. Those people that think they're too big for those kind of shows that
and
we have no idea
are.
Who they are. Yeah, exactly. And who the hell is John and Kate? I kind of roughly know who they are, but I...
You really don't
why
immerse
is everybody
yourself
such
in
an
pop
uproar
culture,
with
do
the,
you?
Every entertainment magazine I see is something about John and Kate.
Because they're breaking up and you can... And when they do the interviews on their little show, you could tell they just really can't stand each other now. And it's actually kind of sad.
Because
they used to be a really happy couple.
Jim is distraught about it.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, okay.
You really know nothing about pop culture,
no,
do you?
No, not really.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Elderly shut in.
Pop culture is crap.
Stephanie.
These days.
Yeah, but Jim, you helped create pop culture with all of your music, or with all of your cartoons and video games.
Reality crap. It's actor-free television.
That's going to be the quote of the day, Jim Ward. Pop culture is crap.
I like reality television. It's entertaining.
I do like
the culture
stopped
being fun in the 80s, I think. All right, StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah,
is
when the Smurfs went out of fashion.
What? StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward. I forgot your name for a moment.
Okay,
or me, Stephanie Miller.
Spidey. Just call him Spidey.
I was trying to forget you.
Yeah, call me Spidey.
All right. Lots of stuff to get to today. The president, of course, gave his big speech to the doctors. He'll say it again more slowly so that those of you on the right can understand.
If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period.
What? I thought it was a government takeover, socialization, and
communist, fascist, Nazi.
The Buddhist. Government's gonna come between me and my doctor, and I can't
French.
Need me. Okay, that was a little improvisational skit by Jim Ward and I about the right wing response.
That was very good.
Thank
by
you.
Jim Ward and me.
Thank you, Jim. All right.
12 items or fewer.
All right. Almost directly after the president spoke out about the elections in Iran, I guess Sean missed that.
The Iranian people have taken to the streets. The result of last week's election are now in doubt. There are accusations of voter fraud. Mm-hmm. And where, oh, where is President Obama? That
spoke.
Is our headline this Monday night.
He just
Hope
spoke.
Runs silent.
He just spoke.
He spoke about it at length yesterday.
In fact, that broke during the Ed Schultz show while I was on it. And Ed Schultz reported that. Huh. Goodness, Sean, you must have missed that.
And Sean's show is live. It's not taped like
all the others. According to my teleprompter, he said nothing.
Yeah. Huh. He could have fixed that, but he chose not to. Huh. He chose to lie to his audience.
Huh. Yeah. Ed broke that news and then asked me about it. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. Ed Schultz and the mom.
Stephanie, your take on this. Should the president be very aggressive? He has just said that he's obviously disturbed. Should the president inject himself into this, maybe even to the point to say that there should be another election? What do you think?
I don't think that's a bad idea, Ed. I knew there was going to be trouble when I saw Catherine Harris and Ken Blackwell were in charge of the election in Iran. I think it just didn't add up.
Oh. Let's get Jimmy Carter down there. Why doesn't Jimmy Carter
over 70% of of the Iranian population is young, Ed, and they were largely for his opponent. And so, you know, and there was a huge turnout. This clearly didn't add up. I don't think it's a bad idea to look into it.
All right, that was the right-wing tool, by the way, Jim, scoffing at the that I was implying there might have been election fraud.
Jimmy Carter down there, Jimmy Carter. Mm-hmm.
That was like that was technically my turn to talk there.
God.
Yeah, that was because I implied that there might have been some sort of fol-de-rol in the elections here in America in 2000 and 2004, you see. And so she was Jimmy Carter.
She has a radio show, that Heidi Harris?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Don't talk about that! Don't talk about Ohio and Florida. Da, 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 Jimmy Carter.
You know, Jim just does a more sounds. A more eerie replication of the right wingers I have to debate on TV than actually when then.
Because
you know the funny thing, that's actually what I hear in my IFB. That's pretty much what I hear.
Bam, bam, bam.
Jimmy Carter, socialize. The police state. Okay. Yeah, I don't even get that. The Barack Obama's health care plan is going to turn us into a police state?
Huh? What?
What? Yeah, but never do. Okay, you know what? Only one thing to do now, and that is Beaver Stack. I know. You know what? It's like potato chips.
Lately.
I know. You think you don't want another Beaver Stack, but then someone sends another one, and you do. It turns out you do.
Is this from Julie again?
No. Someone has preempted Julie.
Okay.
This is Travis. I know that you have an official Beaver reporter, but he didn't want me to miss this one.
Okay.
From the Boston Globe. Jim, you need Beaver from all over the country.
Hmm.
And this, we haven't had one from Boston. Julie's from Seattle. So there right. tends to be Northwestern kind of Beaver stories.
Now we have Northeastern Beaver.
Yes. Hmm. Call it the Medford Muncher.
Or the what?
That's what they call the Beaver. Or the Flooding Phantom. Or maybe just a royal pain in the neck. For nearly 2 years, Beaver has stymied Medford residents living near Whitmore Brook. First time I saw that thing, I thought it was a bear.
That's not how they talk in Boston.
No.
Said Cosmo Giacchetto, whose backyard abuts.
So, abuts a beaver?
It abuts. Abuts the brook. Oh. He thought it was a bear. That's a big beaver, huh?
Beaver tends to be abutted by a bear.
Wow. That's tough.
Nice
to be.
Beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Woof! You, it's time for maybe a little surgery if it gets mistaken for a bear. Okay.
Or a butt.
Ooh, or some sort of grooming of some sort, at least. It's just one beaver. But it's won a lot of attention. There have been public meetings, two attempts at diverting the beaver by installing a beaver deceiver, and untold angst from a handful of neighbors in this corner of Medford.
It's hard to deceive a beaver.
It is. One neighbor who asked not to be named, because she's private.
She's a beaver lover.
She says, yes,
really?
Flooding has brought puddles into her backyard, some swelling 20 feet
wow.
wide and 5 feet deep.
That's some swelling.
She said it's a safety hazard. Her infant daughter could drown in that puddle. Someone's got to think of the children.
Yeah.
The Friends of Middlesex Fells, an environmental
Middlesex.
Group. I said Middlesex. I don't know what that abuts.
Ask Ann Coulter.
It monitors the entire Fells area. They felt they had to protect beaver. Southampton-based Beaver Solutions installed a 80-foot pipe early May.
There's a company called Beaver Solutions?
I don't even know if an Octomom could fit that.
Beaver Solutions.
Beaver Solutions owner Mike Callahan said, I also offer trapping service, but usually that's only good for a year or two. Then new beaver comes into the area.
Mm. Yeah.
They're very territorial. Some beaver
yes.
are. One resident claims to have seen beaver about a month ago, but there's no evidence of any recent beaver activity. He put the odds of the beaver still living in that area at 50-50. The state tried fixing the problem without nixing the beaver about a year ago when it installed a smaller pipe, which the beaver easily plugged up.
Hmm. Beaver does tend to plug up pipes.
Well, if it's a smaller pipe. It's not the 80-foot one. It was.
That's excessive.
This was pipe. The original yeah. beaver solution.
Nice pipe.
Beaver supporters, and there are many in this area, apparently.
Hmm.
Beaver fans. They say the animals do more than serve themselves when they migrate to a new area.
Mm-hmm.
They leave an area in better shape than they found it, said one resident.
They're like Boy Scouts going camping.
That could be why Giacchetto bears the beaver no ill will.
Cosmo.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Is that his name?
Said, I love the workmanship. I couldn't with a straight face try to kill that thing. That's what Cosmo Giacchetto said. He's a beaver fan in Medford.
I remember when I was a tour guide at Universal every summer we awaited the arrival of new beaver. But, you know, that's a whole
mm-hmm.
different thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids?
Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. Vice President Dick Cheney, former vice president.
Yeah.
Said he hit
no one's told him, apparently.
Apparently not. He hit back at CIA Director Leon Panetta over his suggestion that Cheney wants another terrorist attack on U.S. soil. He said, I hope my old friend Leon was misquoted. The important thing is whether or not the Obama administration will continue the policies that kept us safe for the last 8 years.
Except
for the one biggest one in our history that happened on my watch. Oh, he didn't say that.
No,
okay, Dick Vader's thoughts.
My counsel to the usurper, Dark Jedi Obama, concerning the inevitability of our doom if he is allowed to continue his non-circle brand of rule, has drawn the shrieking of the jackals that are insulating him from the harsh reality of the dark side. That was a long sentence. His underling, the Viscount Panetta of the Spaghetti Band Cluster, has taken upon himself to accuse me of gallows politics. Not only is that completely false, but it is disrespectful. I never play politics with the gallows. I simply use them day and night, hanging rebels, traitors, and other miscreants, along with other Sith techniques, such as the hide-the-lightsaber tactic and the feed-the-prisoners-willy-to-the-blangeel sandworm stratagem are surefire ways to achieve compliance with my wishes and needs, and to provide a little innocent amusement into the bargain as their eyes spurt blood and their bowels spill on the cell floor. The effectiveness of this collection of maneuvers is self-evident in that there is no exploding... There is no...
What?
In that there has been no exploding Death Star in anyone's backyard for a galactic year. I find the lack of faith disturbing. My interrogation techniques have resulted in knowledge of every rebel base, the thwarting of rebel actions, and quite a few woodies on my part. Back off, Panetta. If you don't like it, go... yourself with the A397C counter-rotating colliding spiral nebula formation.
Ouch.
You won't be sitting down for a while.
Yeah.
No.
It's counter-rotating.
Oh.
Quickly.
Yes.
It's pointy.
Oh.
Is it exploding?
Could be.
I think you need surgery after that one.
He doesn't normally take questions after a statement.
No, he doesn't.
I appreciated the fuller explanation of what he would be... himself with. Okay, and finally, the headline is, Minnesota contestants had to eat as many buffalo turds as possible in 2 minutes.
What?
That's a name of a delicacy.
Oh!
As part of Town and Country Days in Mapleton, contestants had to eat as many as the things I just said as possible
buffalo
in 2 minutes. Exactly.
You can say that.
They're a spicy mini smoked sausage. Or sausage.
Yum.
With cream cheese and jalapeno pepper wrapped in bacon.
Ooh. Oh.
And you can only get them at Token Barbecue in Mapleton.
Yeah.
The winner put down...
Hmm? You know what? I think it went over the top with the wrapped in bacon part.
Yeah. Yeah, before that,
everything's good wrapped
diet.
In bacon.
Sausage wrapped in bacon.
Oh,
jeez.
With cream cheese.
Yeah.
The winner put down 11 in 2 minutes to claim the title of Buffalo Turd Eating Champion. What's that? Was it that former congressman from Illinois?
Denny Hastert?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. You know, I have a son in the Great Plains, and there's delicacies out here nobody else has. Many is the time when I was a kid, I would take a hike out in the pasture around my little hometown to feast on cow pies. Yum. Especially when they baked in the sun and got all crispy and crackery. I could fire those babies down for hours. Imagine my glee when I heard they'd up in Minnesota there to get restaurants that specialize in buffalo thirds. Now you're talking. I says to myself, Denny, I says, you need to move up to Minnesota toot sweet. Not only do they serve your kind of grub, but they got a weirder accent than you do. You betcha. I come to find out they have contests, and the winner puts down a measly 11 buffalo thirds in 2 minutes. Hey, I figure back in the day I could polish up 2,000 cow pies in less than that. Shazam! Not only will I be king of something, I'll get a good meal out of it, though. So I get there, find out the buffalo thirds you serve up are these mingy little snacks about the size of what I find on the end of my toothpick after a meal. So naturally, I clean them out in about 5 minutes flat. Then I start on the other contestants. Hey, I was peckish. Now, after they run me out of town, I'm wandering the prairie harvesting the real buffalo turds. And the occasional buffalo. Buffalo. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's good. Also, prairie dogs, rats, small rocks, the odd rusted out tractor. Crunchy. Oh, yeah, it's good rust. Good source of iron. Oh, yeah.
That's all for Stand Up News. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Bald Roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a tile ad at the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
Boy, howdy, 20 minutes after the hour. Hey, I'm having the town hall on health care early. I'm not waiting for the president and ABC. We'll talk to you and the rest of our thoughts on the health care debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We'll be right back.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kim in San Francisco on the healthcare debate. Hey, Kim, welcome. Hi, Kim.
Hey, oh, hi.
Folks. Oh, that's you.
Hey, listen, you looked beautiful on Ed Schultz last night. You really did.
Oh, thank you. So you're a fan of the thousand-year-old Austrian makeup guy that... You know what he does? He doesn't do hair. He'll just hand you. He handed me a little tiny can of a hairspray that didn't work, and then he furiously started using tools to try to open it. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, you kind of have that girl next door look, you know, and it reminds me of my good Republican parents who wanted me at a very tender age to join a group called Up With People.
Oh, I remember Up With People. I love them.
Oh my God, I was in the middle of my whole Beatles thing.
Up. With people, like, they're the best kind of people we know. Come on.
You bet. Yeah. It was Happy Talk.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh. Anyway, the little right-wing fembot that you were on with.
Yes.
What's up with that sort of, like, in high school we had these little white pills with crosses on them. It was like a certain type of, oh, I don't know, speed. What is up with the way she talks? Jim, explain it. You understand voices.
I don't know. Because you know what it is?
Jimmy
I think
Carter!
They realize, like, you know, they betray themselves, Kim, because she basically came right out and said, we want health care to fail, because then you own it.
Exactly.
It's like you are doing the same thing, Rush Limbaugh. You're rooting for America to fail, you know?
Exactly. Let me just say one thing else. You guys, this is going to be a long summer to your audience. We have to keep it up. However long it takes to keep calling them every day, emailing them every day, do it respectfully, but they are not, they're going to wait until we start to back off, and then they're going to push in what they want. We have to insist by being active.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We do not fix our healthcare system, America may go the way of GM. Ooh. Paying more, getting less, and going broke.
Wow.
Jimmy in Seattle on healthcare. Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, I was kind of wondering now, who do the Republican neocon right people think that they're fooling here? I mean, the idea that of the several arguments that are used to generate opposition to meaningful health care reform, one of the most often heard is the argument that a nationalized or socialized health care system would put government bureaucrats between patients and their doctors.
Right.
And we don't want that. We want doctors and patients making those decisions for themselves, not some government bureaucrat. Well, here's the dirty little secret that they're not telling you. Doctors and patients aren't making those decisions today. Insurance companies.
Exactly.
Yeah, bureaucrats
exactly.
are.
Exactly. Thank you.
We can't insure you. You're going to get sick. How
yeah.
Make
I don't have a government plan. I told you. They're like, no, you can't have that medicine anymore for your acid reflux, you skank. You have to take this one now.
And that, cancer schmancer. Suck it up.
28 minutes.
Are you on Social Security already?
Shut up. 28 minutes after the hour, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell documentary director next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Get lots of sleep. Tomorrow, we will all be risking our lives for freedom.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, as we've mentioned on the show, gay groups getting a little impatient with the Obama administration. Last week, they wrote a brief in support of the Defense of Marriage Act, which is a candidate Obama had called abhorrent. The brief, which compared in legal terms same-sex marriage to incestuous one, obviously met with anger in the gay community. The White House feels that the way to change all this, whether it's Don't Ask, Don't Tell or DOMA, is through legislation, is through Congress, which is why they're defending this. That the Human Rights Campaign, though, said, I cannot overstate the pain we feel as human beings and as families when we read an argument presented in federal court implying that our own marriages have no more constitutional standing than incestuous ones. If only there was someone on the cutting edge of all of these important issues. Who is it, Jim?
Why, it's the director of the new Don't Ask, Don't Tell documentary on PBS, Ask Not Johnny Simons.
That's on tonight! Johnny, what are the chances you would call this morning when your show is on tonight? Hello.
Hello, hello.
There you are. Good morning, sir.
Yes. Good morning. How are you doing?
I was saying it's such a coincidence you would call this morning when your documentary airs tonight on PBS
Crazy,
at 10 p.m.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Okay. I have heard that this is just a really terrific film. It is called Ask Not, about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is certainly my opinion and many people's opinions, so beyond past time to be overturned. You know, it couldn't come in a better time because people really do feel like the Obama administration is dragging its feet, don't you?
Well, yeah, I do. I guess I had more hopes initially, but you know, it's one of those things where clearly it's going to take a lot of political capital to overturn this, and they haven't decided to throw in their weight behind it just yet.
Well, and I understand he's got a lot in his plate, Johnny. He's only 4.5 months in, but you know, as you point out in the film, you know, back when this first started, 16% believed that gays should serve openly, compared to now it's 70%. 70% of the American people think, you know, it's fine.
Well, yeah, it's actually, 70% of the American people, and also 73% of soldiers and service members feel very comfortable around gays and lesbians. So that's a real shift since Don't Ask, Don't Tell was implemented.
You point out some important facts. Over 12,000 gay service members have been discharged. And I think the most important thing you bring up is not just how wrong this is on so many levels, but the fact that intelligence failures like 9/11 happened because we didn't have enough Arab linguists to translate this intelligence before 9/11, and how many of those linguists were gay that were fired?
Yeah, we've had almost 60 that have been kicked out, folks who speak Arabic, just because they're gay now. So, you know, clearly, and the numbers keep going up. And, you know, I don't need to tell you how important it is that we have these people in. So.
Right. I mean, so it's not just the effect on the military. It really is the effect on national security. I don't know whether, like I say, but it is interesting. You pick out one phrase in Arabic, which means tomorrow is 0 hour. So, you know, you and I can both speculate, but would 9/11 have happened? You know, had we had enough linguists that translated this in time?
Yeah, who knows?
You said any one of the 54 Arabic linguists discharged over Don't Ask, Don't Tell could have easily translated that phrase.
Yeah, and this comes from one of the Arabic linguists who was kicked out. I mean, that was, you know, he was speaking out about this, and that was his perspective on this. So yeah, it's definitely a question that's lingering out there.
Well, and so I think, Johnny, that's what I'm saying. It's not just that this is way past time, you know, morally or any other reason you want to choose, but you talk about the urgency of how many American lives. I mean, we're talking about saving lives.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, a lot of people can sort of wrap their head around this from a civil rights perspective. Like, it doesn't really make sense for us to have a law that, a federal law that discriminates and mandates that we kick people out. You know, it's not fair to the 65,000 people who are currently serving who are gay and lesbian. But also, what I really wanted to do in the film was point out, is this in our best interest as a nation? I mean, you mentioned national security. Certainly that's an issue. It's also taxpayer dollars. I mean, we've spent millions and millions and millions of dollars training people to be linguists or human intelligence collectors or fighter jet pilots or whatever, and then had to kick them out because they're gay, and then train new people to take their jobs.
Right. Well, and I think that, you know, like you say, even people that are not for gay marriage, I mean, this is, it seems like we're so past time where people legally think gays ought to be discriminated against, whether it's, in employment like this or housing or jobs, you know.
Yeah, that's my perspective on it, you know, but, it's hard to get congressional representatives to really, you know, take this one on.
See, that's what kills me. It is like when you look at, like you say, the number 70% of the American people, it's like they are so far out. Whether we were just talking about health care, Johnny, but the American people are so far out ahead. They're so much more liberal than the Democrats, even in Congress, you know, that you just think, why can't we get this done? Why, with the stroke of a pen, the president could do this, right?
Well, you know, Obama doesn't have the same power that Clinton did to just eliminate this law completely, entirely with a stroke of a pen. Because when Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that so-called compromise went into place, they took away that ability because it became a congressional law. So it really takes Congress to overturn it.
Well, that's what I understand that. I do understand that argument. I want your take on it. The White House is saying that they feel like that would slow this down, that they actually, that Congress needs to repeal this so that it's an actual law. He's saying, you know, in Daniel Choi or any of these other individual cases that the president steps in, and even Choi, didn't he say, like, I don't want that? I want everybody to be able to serve. I don't want to just have my benefits back or whatever.
Well, that's true. But, you know, what Obama could do is sign a piece of paper saying, hey, I can't change the law, but I'm not going to enforce the law until Congress acts on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there could be this stopgap measure that's hanging out there. And, you know.
And I understand, you know, Johnny, they're afraid of the same kind of uproar when Clinton was in. But like you point out, there has been just such a sea change in this since 1993. I mean, when I see some of these right-wing talking heads on this, don't they just seem like throwbacks? It's like watching Anita Bryant in the Milk film.
Yeah.
You're like, really? Did she really say on national television that homosexuality should be outlawed? You know, but like these right-wing people, they're like, oh, it'll disrupt the force. Like, how? Do they ever explain how it's going? I mean, there's already been, like, as you say, thousands of gays serving forever in the Army and, you know, in the armed forces. Why? What is their argument that it's going to disrupt the, you know, unit cohesion or whatever?
Yeah, that's the argument. Unit cohesion, combat readiness, morale. And, you know, what they often don't point out is that there are 26 countries around the world that now allow people to serve openly. Many of those folks are people who are allies, like the British. And, you know, they were worried about it, too. And then they lifted the ban and nothing happened.
Right.
You know, that they're still operating just as effectively as they were.
Right. But I literally heard a right-winger arguing against this, saying that, you know, having to reorganize the forces, you know, how would you have to reorganize? What, do you have to give better decorated barracks to the cave? Like, what are they talking about? Like, what would you actually have to do if this were enacted tomorrow, Johnny?
Well, you know, I mean, I do think there would be ways in which they would need to make sure that there, you know, where there was training and for all soldiers in terms of just, you know, sensitivity to these issues, make sure there was, you know, they were enforcing discipline, things like that. But, I mean, this is the kind of thing the military does and does very well because, you know, an order comes down from the top and people fall in line. And if they can't hang with it, then they're disciplined.
Right. But, Johnny, what I'm saying is these right-wingers, I mean, it sounds like a separate but equal argument to me. I mean, it sounds like we used to have different drinking fountains for blacks and whites. They literally were saying, like, what's their point? Like, we'd have to have different showers because, God forbid, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
it just, these arguments are so old and outdated.
There's a lot of fear out there, you know, and I guess people don't really recognize that, you know, there are gay people who work in our police forces.
What?
And our our firefighters and go to gyms along with everyone else, and, you know, it actually hasn't caused major, you know, societal uproar there. So
yep.
Probably wouldn't be a big deal in the military either.
Yeah. I have to get your take, you know, since we're, I know obviously your film is just about the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but what is your take in general, though, on gay marriage? And because a lot of people just feel like, you know, the Obama administration has not said anything, and this is obviously sweeping the country at this point. So it's not just you know, the military, it's also gay marriage.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a little disheartening, I would say. You know, my partner and I have two kids. Be great if our family was more recognized than it is. And, you know, we have to fight that battle every day. So I'm certainly, you know, hoping that things will change.
Yep, me too. Well, you know, like I say, for any of us that were struck by that phrase in his speech way back at the convention about, you know, we have some gay friends in the red states, and, you know, the way he's always spoken in such an inclusive way, I think you're right, is that, you know, people are getting a little restless about backing that up with some action.
Absolutely, yeah.
Johnny, the film is Ask Not. It premieres tonight at 10 p.m. on PBS, and I look forward to it. It's on the PBS series Independent Lens, correct?
That's it.
All right. Thanks so much for taking time for us, Johnny.
Thank you.
There he goes. Johnny Simons,
yay!
Director. Don't ask.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but has there been a stork infestation in the Middle East? Because it seems like some female soldiers are coming back pregnant. Maybe we should ban heterosexual soldiers, because then that we wouldn't have that problem.
Okay.
That'd be a pretty small army, though. Yeah.
Okay, don't make a joke about a Palin daughter joining the military.
Ah.
See now?
Okay. Fired.
You're fired.
Okay, 43 minutes.
Yeah, then they'll start a website, Fire Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
They don't have one already?
Yeah.
Bring it. Bring it on. Oh, yes, we have breaking the Sarah Palin Letterman news. We will tell you that when we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's absolutely perfection.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Nancy in Columbus on the Iranian elections. Hello, Nance.
Hi.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say the woman you were on with last night was so shrill that she made my teeth hurt.
Yeah. All right, now. Go ahead. Okay. So Iranian elections, yes.
I can't remember the names. The guy who's contesting the election.
Me neither.
Wasabi?
Yes.
Wasabi, uh-huh.
I think the United States, Obama, should just not say anything because I don't think he would want our endorsement.
Well, you know what? The president said something like that yesterday. Like, you know, America is obviously used as a political football in that area of the world. So, yeah, I'm not sure. He said, I think it's up to the Iranian people to decide. So I that's what I mean. What can we do about it? Clearly it was a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, but we couldn't fix it in our country.
Yeah.
We got two stolen elections in 2000 and 2004.
But what hardly anyone is saying is how encouraging it is to see people fighting for their rights.
Absolutely.
To vote.
I know.
And people actually getting a look at what the Iranian people look like.
Yeah,
you know, they're
exactly.
Not wearing the burqas and all that. They, women have the right to vote.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
they can
as
go to
backward
university.
As, say, our good friends the Saudis.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and that's what
you really want to bomb those people.
And that's what this guy was running on was women's rights and getting rid of the morals police and whatever. Millie in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, people.
Hello.
First of all, I wanted to talk about health care. Heidi should be in Psycho Talk, but that's another story. What's with the Minnesota race?
Are
they ever going to decide?
When hell freezes over, which is, I don't know when that is in Minnesota because it's very cold. But, Amy Klobuchar just talked about that. She's like, for the love of God, I'm working my hump off here.
Yeah. That's right. And,
please,
I mean,
she's the only senator she's had to, you know, increase her staff. Her phone system can't keep up with the calls.
That's insane.
States were not designed to have one senator.
Right.
And, you know, this baloney, I'm a Democrat, but I'm sorry, I'm getting sick of them. This
Me
baloney
too.
That they need 60 votes. First of all, they're not going to get 60 even when Al Franken is seated. Ben Nelson, Max Baucus, the two senators from Arkansas, Joe Lieberman, whatever he is.
Yep. I agree with Howard Dean. Did you hear him yesterday? He just said, you know, what do we keep saying? We don't have the votes. He said, even if we lose a couple of Democrats, we can still get this through, you know?
You know, push it through with 51 like the Republicans did all their lives.
Exactly.
Please,
exactly.
Please.
Bill Maher said that. You know, I wish he'd get a little more George Bush in him, the president.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, he pushed through an unnecessary and illegal war, for God's sakes. Healthcare is something, you know, the American people actually want. To the tune of, what did we say yesterday? 63% want a plan more liberal than is even on the table. Let's go to Marvin in Miami on healthcare. Hey, Marvin.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. Why is it that all these right-wing nuts are so concerned about affordable universal healthcare coming between the patient and the doctor, but they're so anxious for the government to come between a patient and a doctor when it comes to ending an unwanted or a dangerous pregnancy?
Yep, absolutely. I hear you. All
right. Good point.
Kent Conrad, a chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, said there's not enough support in Congress for the public option, even though proponents offer very good arguments for it. Conrad has proposed an alternative to the system of federal
co-op, right?
Yes. That Howard Dean said this is like small states. It's not going to work. They're going to water it down enough so that it can't compete with private insurance companies, which is the whole point of the public option.
Right.
Here we go again. Susan Collins. It's all about what Esmeralda wants. She can make health care disappear. Just like she did the pan flu pandemic medicine.
Pan flu?
Or whatever. Pandemic flu preparation.
Swine flu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pan flu.
Pan. Okay. The Peter Pan medicine. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, she says it's an intriguing idea that could serve as a compromise, something that's watered down so it doesn't work.
So it doesn't work, yeah.
Yes.
That'd be good.
Because Esmeralda says so. Senator Coastly, who looks exactly like Esmeralda on Bewitched, and that's why we call her that.
I think we need a solution that's neither fish nor fowl, that's not going to work, and I can cover my political ass.
Okay. All right, breaking Caribou Barbie news.
Uh-oh.
Oh, she's accepted Letterman's apology, Jim. Oh, isn't that big of her.
Yeah, but the protests are still going on.
Yeah, now that they've set it in motion.
Right-wing whack John Ziegler says that's not enough.
Yeah.
Letterman's apology. He has to get fired. Yeah.
You're fired.
Oh, by the way, John Ziegler got fired for using the N-word.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
Here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, Bill O'Reilly, who just helped get a doctor murdered, He's still on the air. He's not been.
Yes. You're fired.
Yeah, he hasn't been fired yet. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Greta Van Susteren is still plugging this protest.
Conan
too.
O'Brien, who said she dropped the puck at the Philadelphia Flyers game and then spent the rest of the game keeping the players out of her daughter's penalty box.
Yes.
He hasn't gotten fired. That way. She didn't even notice that.
No.
It was a few months ago. Oh, interesting.
That's odd.
Governor Palin released a statement accepting David Letterman's apology for what he called a bad joke about her daughter. Of course, it's accepted on behalf of young women.
She doesn't speak for all young women.
Like my daughters, who hope men who joke about public displays of sexual exploitation of girls will soon evolve.
Oh my God.
She, by the way, made women pay for rape kits when she was a mayor. Just FYI.
Pardon me, feminist credentials.
Letterman certainly has the right to joke about whatever he wants to, and thankfully we have the right to express our reaction. And that's all thanks to our U.S. military men and women. Oh, are you kidding me?
It's
what?
Thanks to the U.S. Constitution.
Like, she's not politicizing this whole thing. This is all thanks to our U.S. military women and men putting their lives on the line for us to secure America's right to free speech. In this case, may that right be used to promote equality and respect.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, that right is afforded to us by the U.S. Constitution and defended by the military. So she's wrong there.
Well, it's just like being vice president and getting there working on the legislation all up in there in the Congress and that kind of also, too.
You get what her point is. David Letterman hates the troops. Okay. Right, they're still going to try to get him fired. Okay.
Yep.
Let's let's go to Richard in Alabama on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Hello, Richard.
Yes, Steph. I'm a veteran of the war in Afghanistan. Uh-huh. And in these post-9/11 wars, I think people miss is that we fight alongside, you know, other countries. I've rigged helicopter loads with Canadians. I've secured helicopter landing zones with Brits. I've shared shower facilities with the Dutch. And you'll never guess what all of those countries have in common.
They all have gays serving openly.
They let homosexuals serve openly. So we're already serving alongside homosexuals. It's a non-issue. And
What's it like showering with a gay Dutchman?
I don't know. All I care is that they can shoot straight.
That's right.
If they are straight. Paraphrasing Barry Goldwater. All right. Let's go to...
Stephanie.
It's going to be your life story there. What's the title of your autobiography?
I think that's the title of my book.
Showering with a gay Dutchman?
Just wanted to know.
That will be your life's quest, to find out what it is like to shower with a gay Dutchman.
Somebody listening right now knows.
Okay.
Sandy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for all your hard work, you guys. I just wanted to make a comment on, you know, it's not like we have to reinvent the wheel. The rest of the world has this healthcare system.
And gays in the military, and they haven't imploded. They haven't spontaneously combusted, any of them.
Exactly. So it's not like we have to reinvent the wheel. This is about big profit, big companies wanting to keep making lots of money, and also about the socialized medicine. How about the VA system? How about Medicare, Medicaid, the people that are on disability, all the seniors that are getting free health care plus probably another supplement? I mean, come on, people. Wake up. This is about giving. We're already paying for the uninsured, so let's make it more fair, man. I mean, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. Thanks for all your
All right. Thank you, Sandy. Thanks for calling me man. I appreciate it, man. All right. All right. The president yesterday.
What makes this moment different is that this time, for the first time, key stakeholders are aligning not against, but in favor of reform.
Yes, we do have a moment in time. Joe Biden, Vice President. Yesterday.
We made it clear. We do not believe you should be taxing the benefits that people receive through their employers now.
Yeah, that's your bugaboo, Stephanie.
That is my bugaboo.
Yeah.
As Chris Dodd also says he is against that, and that there are other ways to pay for it. We do not need to do that. All right. 57 minutes after the hour, comedian extraordinaire Hal Sparks coming up on the Celebrity Hotline next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I'm
that announcer.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Comedian Hal Sparks coming up live in just a moment. You're not
live?
Here yet.
Live?
Live?
StephanieMiller.com.
I thought he was only supposed to be on the phone.
I'm not an actor.
No, don't speak.
I'm a movie star.
It's like a surprise party.
Okay, shh.
You're not here yet.
Everybody, he's coming.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Senator Mitch McChinless, a little more fear-mongering on health care.
In fact, if the government is in the insurance business, there won't be any other insurers. It's inevitable because the taxpayers will be backing up the program.
I have a delightful public option.
And then I won't be able to get surgery for my upper lip, which has mysteriously disappeared.
It's gone missing down near Brainerd. And the president on the Iranian situation yesterday.
It is up to Iranians to make decisions about who Iran's leaders will be. That we respect Iranian sovereignty and want to avoid the United States being the issue inside of Iran. Having said all that, I am deeply troubled by the violence that I've been seeing on television. I think that the democratic process, free speech, the ability of people to peacefully dissent, all those are universal values and need to be respected.
Now, the question is, does this turn out to be a Berlin Wall situation or a Tiananmen Square situation?
Yes. So. Yep, absolutely. Good question. In the meantime, I was invited to speak for free on the Ed Show yesterday.
They don't pay you?
No. But it was delightful.
Oh.
And I love me some Ed Schultz. Was on with that right-wing tool from Vegas.
Heidi Harris.
Yes.
Vegas, baby.
Heidi Ho.
Heidi Harris.
Heidi Ho. I just saw her. I was just at the radio convention in New York. I saw all our friends. You know, Roger Hedgehog.
Hedgecock.
Pardon me?
Cock.
Oh, Hedgecock.
Yes.
He's the...
What's his name again?
The right-wing host. Hedgehog.
Cock.
Pardon
balls.
Me?
I'm sorry. I forgot. It's not. I thought it was time to shout things.
He's the right-wing host from San Diego. I saw him, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we were talking about health care.
Of course they're going to raise taxes. They're going to have to. You know, the reality is it's not going to save anybody money long term to do this kind of program. You talk about inefficiencies. Of course there are inefficiencies. But government taking over, are you kidding? Government doesn't do anything well. They won't do this well, and it's a scary prospect. Besides that, the main reason they're doing this is to ace out the insurance companies. Government's going to come in. They're going to put a program together that will be easily affordable for everybody, get everybody on that, and eliminate the insurance companies. That's socialized medicine. That is
affordable.
Stephanie, what do you think?
Ed, see, this is the problem with bipartisanship with our friends like Heidi and Rush Limbaugh. Is she just said she wants health care to fail and then Democrats own it. Don't we all as Americans want to fix this health care system?
I would think so.
Ha ha, Heidi.
No, I don't need to fix it. It's perfect now.
It's going to fail. You'll own it. Neener.
I can afford all the health care I want because I'm rich.
Ha, 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 ha. And lots of people are going
to
die.
All the
win.
Poor people need to die. These need to die.
People are going to die. Screw and it's going to be bad. Ha, ha. Then we win.
Steph could afford all the health care she needs. She's rich.
I cannot.
You have a compound.
I haven't even gotten this hammer toe taken care of. All right.
I think she could
Stephanie, is this a Trojan horse to socialized medicine? Is it a Trojan horse to single payer?
It is not. I don't see how much more clearly the president can explain it. Heidi, public option. The second part of that phrase is option. The president keeps saying, if you like what you have, you can keep it. What's so hard about that?
All right.
You have to talk slowly.
Jimmy
sometimes.
Carter! Jimmy Carter, French! Homosexuals!
Okay.
Wow.
All right. See, is Jim exaggerating about what the right-wingers sound like I'm on with? Not really.
No, they screech.
She did. She screamed Jimmy Carter during one of my
she did.
Answers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got earplugs in, so I can't hear you. That's why I'm talking so loud.
Okay.
What was wrong with her eyes? They were set a little too
close
together.
Shush. Let's not get catty now. Come on.
Did she need creamants?
No. Stop it.
She's not Karen Hanratty.
Hanratty.
Yes.
Okay. Neil and Madison, let me just say, I've said this many, many times. Barack Obama, good for America, bad for...
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, bad for comedy, bad for... We went a little too far. I think, in getting him elected. Dear Mama, I won't be able to listen to your program anymore, for I have a new job. Under Bush, I lost my employment of 14 years, but with Obama's stimulus money, I was able to catch a new one. See ya. What the...
What? Hey!
We don't mean jobs where you can't listen to...
Stephanie Miller.
That's not what we meant. All right.
That kind of sucks.
To be me. All right. Julie in Seattle has sent us a story about, there's a new FBI effort. Mm-hmm. Steph, here's a dumb, confusing military operation type of name for an FBI effort to nab domestic terrorists. Operation Vigilante Eagle.
What?
Isn't the eagle the one looking for vigilantes, or is the eagle the vigilante?
Operation Vigilante Eagle. An eagle looking for vigilantes. Or maybe it's vigilantes looking for eagles to shoot because they did something bad that they're not happy with.
Yeah, it sounds like all the Bush administration. Remember they had the
Operation
really,
Slightly Miffed Sparrow.
They had really macho-sounding names for really
mundane.
Operation Commando Eagle. It's an eagle without underpants.
For really disastrous military operations they would have, but they had cool names. They actually, there was one Commando Eagle. Remember
yes,
that one?
Yes, there was.
Bone Crusher or not.
Whatever.
Operation Bone Crusher?
Something. Yeah, Operation Vigilante Eagle meant to target would-be domestic terrorists. The operation was launched in response to radical right-wing groups' noticeable increase in recruitment, threatening communications, and weapons procurement, according to an FBI memo.
Operation Candy Pants Sparkle Pony.
That doesn't have the same ring.
No, not really.
No.
That was rejected in the meeting, in the writers' meeting.
Mm-hmm. They have writers' meetings?
Okay. There has been an increase, clearly, in the violence from right-wing lunatics, as we've pointed out, I believe. Boy, I got to tell you, this rash of like right-wing violence, which is exactly what was in this Homeland Security report, which, you know, Republicans acted all huffy and offended over. This is getting beyond frightening to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just one a week, Jim. It's not just Dr. Tiller and then the Pittsburgh shooting, the cop killer, a leader of the Minutemen American Defense Group is in an Arizona jail. I've been saying this for a while, is the problem is the rhetoric coming from the official mainstream Republicans is not that different than the lunatic fringe.
You routinely attack people on the left. Jane Ann Garofalo, Michael Moore, who you think their rhetoric leads potentially to violence. It never has led to one act of violence, but you've already driven that crazy guy in Knoxville last year who read your writings and then went and shot up a church and shot liberals. That's already happened once, and you don't feel any responsibility at all now that it's happened a second time, Bill?
I don't know what that means.
Civil unrest will happen.
He cannot take this truth I'm dropping on him.
Hal Turner. We're running out of time, but if you want to...
Neo-Nazi, you've backed his career.
Why?
You can't handle
and you've
me.
Been reading wrong
else.
Websites, my
you
friend.
You can't handle
Good
me.
Try.
Rock.
You can't handle the truth.
Thank you, Lister Ken in Cleveland. That was Joan Walsh. We got to give her a...
Yeah, she's great. Oh. We got to give her mad props.
She was awesome.
Yeah, how many people got out and murdered somebody based on Janine Garofalo's advice?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and one last one. Julie writes, Dear Steph, little Kim's youngest son, Littler Kim, secretly visited China last week as the official next in line for the Dear Leader gig. Time for Jim to sing. I guess so.
Hello, it's me. I thought about this for a long time. Maybe I think too much, but something's wrong. There's something here that doesn't rest too long. Maybe I shouldn't think of you as mine. It's important to me that you know you are free. Cause I never wanna make you change for me.
Okay, that's beautiful.
Thank you, little Kim.
Thank you, little Kim. That's what he sounds like, we've decided. It was not the youngest son who sounds like Scott from...
Dad, you're embarrassing me.
Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason, the youngest son sounds like the guy...
Scott Evil.
Scott Evil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
It hurts, Daddy, when you say things like that. I just had some sharks with some freak and their ears up him on the head.
Oh, what's not fun about that? I know. I feel more fun at the door. It seems like... What?
Huh?
I feel fun at the... Okay. Oh, there. Who's there, Jim?
Hey, it's Hal Sparks. Hey, he's been here the whole time and we didn't even notice.
Why did you ring the bell after you opened the door, Hal?
That's just how I roll. I learned that from Michael Steele. Some people ring the bell, you know, in the Northeast, they ring the bell and then they come in through a window. And some people in the, you know, in the Deep South, they, you know, live in the garage and just ring the bell at night and run back into the garage and stuff.
Yes.
But that's just how I roll.
I understand.
But the important thing is that we're all ringing the same bell.
That's exactly,
you know,
it.
I mean,
okay, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
You can ring my bell anytime.
All right. Clear the studio. Everybody out. Not so fast, Miller.
Hal Sparks, comedian extraordinaire. What do you feel about the Fire David Letterman movement? I believe we have our friend Sean Hannity. You know, they're protesting today outside Letterman's. Mm-hmm.
The Fire David Letterman movement is growing. Outraged citizens are now calling for the late-night talk show host to get booted off the air for his remarks that he made last week about Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's teenage daughter and about the governor herself. Now, protesters will gather outside of Mr. Letterman's CBS studio tomorrow and make themselves heard.
Didn't she perform? Didn't she show up on Saturday Night Live after they had made incest jokes about her family?
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't she actually come on that show? Didn't Jay Leno actually tell a similar joke?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Conan O'Brien told actually a worse joke, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's hard to take it with any. Well, here's the thing: when people like Sean Hannity say that, you know, clearly there's a growing movement, that means there's nine people.
Yes,
that
it means him and John Ziegler and
six
a couple
of which
of other
they paid
whack jobs
to do that. You know, we've hired a phone bank to call regularly. They've received over 30,000 calls, according to the bill we got from the company.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. What is it? You've been in the comedy business forever. What happened here that this would be?
Well, here's the thing. The rule is you can only joke up. People employees can make fun of their boss. Women can make fun of men in employee settings, not the other way around. It's a power play or whatever. Right. In this case, they're both on equal footing. Now, the daughter, 18 years old, pregnant, going around promoting abstinence. Well,
come
after
on.
Saying it didn't work. Okay, right now you're officially an adult and the butt of a joke. Either girls human beings are at 18 adults or they
are
not.
And they're the ones that put her out there.
Exactly.
They're a part of the campaign.
That's right.
Right. And the interesting thing was you were like Todd saying that it was, rape. Remember he brought that up? Rape, you know, because that's the only way that sexual intercourse happens between, his daughter and other people. Well, then why didn't you...
Sue,
you know, yeah, for, press charges against Levi.
And so Letterman apologized again last night. Did you hear this?
So I would like to apologize, especially to the two daughters involved, Bristol and Willow, and also to the governor and her family and everybody else who was outraged by the joke. I'm sorry about it, and I'll try to do better in the future. Thank you very much.
Yep, end of story. That's the normal tiered apologizing mechanics that happen in a lot of, you know, when these things come up.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of like, oh, it's no big deal. Then there's the serious apology. And then there's somebody gets fired.
And Palin accepted the apology this morning.
Exactly.
So, end of story.
Well, that's because all her PR people...
She used it as an excuse to make a ridiculous political statement, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. She's the one that's dragging her 14-year-old through
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
Nobody said a thing about this until she did.
It was
because
successful.
They didn't think it was about her.
Right. It was successful, though, in that it took all the attention off the fact that she was stealing lines from Newt Gingrich and throwing them poorly into speeches of her own. And the funny thing was, she wasn't even stealing the lines. She was paraphrasing them loosely, kind of vaguely stammery. I'll just take words that Newt said and kind of plug them together and kind of something that looks vaguely like a sentence with
add a lot of unnecessary prepositions, as I tend to do.
Absolutely.
Also,
and repeat
too.
Them.
Yes.
Yes.
In addition, also.
Yeah.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Hal Sparks live in the studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crimes.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. So let it get away.
Hi, It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hal Sparks just absorbing some helpful health care tips from CNN.
From CNN, literally. Jerry's top tip. She's giving tips for, medical, dealing with hospitals, dealing with insurance. Tip number three, avoid the doctor. That's what it said. Right up there, Chiron on the screen.
Thank you.
Tip number three. Avoid the doctor.
Okay.
Great.
I'm not misreading that. There's only three words. Really, I can't imagine what she's talking about.
It's kind of paraphrasing the Republican plan, which is please hurry up and die and get out of the healthcare system. So stop costing us money.
How are we going to weed out the poor if we can't, A, supply them with food with GMOs and all kinds of extra additives that will kill them early, and then provide them with health care that I have to pay for? What's that? That's not the point. This is America is supposed to be an island of 35 people. Me and my rich friends and all the poor people, except the ones that can carry trays, will die. And that's we wrote that in the Partnership for New American Century. We wrote that in page supplemental 9 on diet and exercise.
Mm-hmm. And as Sean Hannity says, now that he can afford health care, all the rest of y'all are screw you.
We can't sustain this debt. $10 trillion in debt, and he's going to add health care on top of it.
Yeah, because George Bush handed us this debt. Now we can't have nice things.
Well, the quote is, a cynic is somebody who knows the cost of everything and the value of nothing.
Right.
And a lot of times they'll argue for this. It's $1 trillion price tag. Do you know how much we're wasting in this country on health care, on insurance, on mismanaged insurance, on failing hospitals, on, $1,000 per person that every American owes for the people who go to emergency rooms, without having insurance. I mean, it's $1 trillion. That's a big number.
Yep.
But if we're spending three, then that's a plus. Then we're taking two off.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not interested in that. It's
Republicans are doing their usual sort of fear mongering. John Kyle said the American people won't stand for rationed health care.
It's not going to be rationed.
It's rationed now by your insurance company.
Yes.
We have public schools and private schools. We have cops and we have private security.
They compete.
We have public and volunteer and private fire agencies. So,
there are public hospitals and private hospitals.
Exactly. So we already have a public option as far as hospitals, except it's unevenly distributed.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You know, does it annoy anyone else to watch all of these Republican senators and congresspeople, all of whom enjoy a lovely public single-payer plan,
uh-huh,
talking about how we can have it?
Absolutely. They work for the country. They don't want your lazy butt to get it. That's their view.
But see, they're trying to confuse the issue by lumping it all in together. By the way, FYI, Chris, the takeovers of the banks, yada yada, all that happened to George Bush.
That's right.
Happened
to
him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mitch McConnell warned that Americans don't want a Washington takeover of healthcare along the lines of what we've already seen with banks, insurance companies, and the auto industries. Americans don't want a government-run system that puts bureaucrats between patients and doctors.
That's right. That's why they're not going to get one. That's why in the debate that's happened since 1993, those elements have been factored in. And as a matter of fact, the bill put forward actually says in no uncertain terms, I think it's even on the second page, that no allowance for government interference between doctor and patient will be allowed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So.
Can't say it much more clearly than that. All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the healthcare debate, the situation in Iran, and much more with Hal Sparks.
Hooray!
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is recommended only for adults and those broad-minded enough to enjoy the brightest, spiciest, and most uninhibited comedy in years.
It's the kind of comedy that's funny. It's comedy. It's
bright.
The Stephanie Miller
it's
Show.
Uninhibited.
But the Hal Sparks, who also does comedy.
That's true. A little comedy. I don't know. I saw that. Somebody sent you an email. I just saw it on your screen. Is Hal drunk?
Just a question.
Yeah.
Just a question.
No. As a matter of fact,
mean that in a bad way.
I know.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
No. I use it in the non-pejorative as well. But I have never actually been drunk in my life ever.
No
ever,
way.
Ever.
You've never had a sip of anything.
Nope. Never drank anything.
Never had a sip.
Nope.
Never
no
smoked.
Drugs.
Never drugged.
Nope.
I've never smoked pot. Isn't that weird? I make up for it with the box wine. However,
sure, absolutely. You smoke the box after you're done. It is like, it's hard to keep wine lit.
Yeah, apparently. What a bunch of little Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts we are in
Look
here.
Look at that, yeah.
Speak for yourself, sister.
Yeah.
He makes up for it over there.
You leave those cookies out in the sun for a couple of days, and you'll get an interesting pull off those things. You're like, is that wrong?
Eric in Washington, D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys.
You're on with Hal. Go ahead.
Hey, Hal. Love your work.
Why, thank you, sir.
Sure, absolutely. I wanted to call because I'm in shock over the Obama's Department of Justice brief defending the Defense of Marriage Act, but not just defending it, but going even beyond what I think the Bush administration said. One of the parts of it that's unbelievable is the fact that they're still comparing gay marriage to incestual marriage marrying children. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah. I know I mentioned this earlier.
Yeah. It boggles the mind so much that you're like, I almost, like, is there some sort of chess move they're trying to do right here where it's just kind of, you're undermining the entire argument by reinforcing it? Like, I mean, you literally think that way because it just seems so bizarre.
Well, here's what they said. Justice spokeswoman said they're abiding by their practice of defending existing law. It doesn't mean Obama's changed his mind about wanting to see gay couples win federal recognition. She said until Congress passes legislation repealing the law, the administration will continue to defend the statute when it's challenged. I hear you, Eric.
If I could just interject one more thing real quick. Sure. Obama, one of his main campaign promises, or one of the big ones for the gay community, was to repeal DOMA. So this is just an outright reversal of that. And I supported Obama all the way, and I love everything he's doing, but this thing is incredible.
Well, he can't actually do that. He can't repeal DOMA on his own. That's also, again, an act of Congress. And this is
they want the same thing as for Don't Ask, Don't Tell. To be, you know, done forever, we need to have Congress act on
absolutely. And the interesting thing is that's kind of what's happening to some degree. You know, if you look at the state-by-state gay marriage initiatives, that people are – it's almost like Obama's going, all right, I'm going to make you so mad that you actually call your representative so that they call me.
Right.
But that's where it does have to happen. And if you notice that some people get lulled into that false sense of security about it and when they think it's handled – I go to a bunch of these, I went to a thing against Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I've been I spoke at Harvey Milk Square and walked to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that it's actually firing people more up even than under Bush.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what's needed. So regardless of whether he's for it or against it at this point, the nice thing is that people are involved in not letting it go. And you have to keep up with that. You've got three people to call. You've got two senators and one congressperson.
Yep. Eric, thanks for your call. You know, that's the thing that, you know, somebody said, Steph, you're crazy if you think he's going to tackle this before health care. Like, he has to get health care through. And, you know,
this is
just going to give red meat to the whatever. But I'm not a lawyer. But the Justice Department lawyers say federal court, in their opinion, was not the right venue to tackle these legal questions, this particular case. So I, you know,
it's very weird. There's so many, because it's a social law, it's a religious law.
Right.
It really is. Yeah. It is a religious law, which is so bizarre in the American legal system anyways, that the idea that you could somehow go, basically what people are fighting for, if you boil it down in the gay marriage debate, in the gays in the military debate, is that there is a group of people in this country who are arguing for their right to not feel icky about something.
Yep.
That's all they're really fighting about. But that makes me feel a certain way, and that's a violation of my rights.
That almost seems like using empathy in the law, and that's not.
Yes. And that's French and gay.
Right, French and
exactly.
Gay.
Yes.
By definition.
More French than gay,
that's true.
Technically speaking.
Christine in Madison with an interesting legal question. Why is it the person that asks isn't fired when a gay person is fired? The rule is don't ask.
Absolutely. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, exactly.
Here's the other thing. Why is being gay in the military really illegal, as it were, for a long time? What was the main reason? The main reason was because it was socially unacceptable, and therefore you could actually blackmail someone in a position where they had state secrets or they had access to basis logs and all those kind of things. And if you were gay, then you could be blackmailed by, you know, them giving you a gay lover and blah. This is the scenario they dreamt up and what made it really legal. And then now socially it's fine. Nobody cares. The way you make this safe, the way you go, being gay is not a problem anymore, is you go, look, we don't give a crap. if you're gay and we find out. But if you pass this law and you make people get kicked out, then yes, they're going to hide that they're gay. And if you have the ability to blackmail someone, then it's you're just reinforcing it.
Watch Ask Not. It's on PBS tonight at 10 o'clock. We had the director on, but it's supposed to be an amazing documentary about the whole Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah, all right. And Showtime's watching is airing Sicko again, too, which I think during the healthcare debate I think is very helpful to watch that again and get very angry.
It's programming tips from Hal and Steph.
It's true.
Whitney and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, absolutely. I can.
Okay, my phone was apparently... Anyway, going off what Hal was saying before, my best friend's boyfriend is in the military, and I was talking to her about Don't Ask, Don't Tell this morning, and basically what she says is they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I think the director this morning was telling us, wasn't he, Chris, that the percentage of people in the military that are for gays in the military is actually higher than the
average population.
It's 73% as opposed to 70%.
They need all the help they can get, and they're dealing with serious issues and stuff. The funny thing is, only people who are outside the military go, what if I'm in a shower, and I'm cleaning my rifle, as it were, and there's this guy, and he's, like, looking at me and stuff, and what if I like it? Like, they don't, once you're in the Army, you're like, I got bigger fish to fry. I mean, literally... I might die tomorrow, and I don't care what this guy thinks sexually about me. We're here to fight on behalf of each other and everybody here. That's a serious issue.
Well, and the serious issue he brings up is the 9/11. You know, the one Arabic phrase that stood out was, what is it? What was
zero
it?
Tomorrow? Hour is tomorrow.
Tomorrow is 0 hour. Tomorrow, well, they didn't, because they fired all the gay Arabic linguists.
Absolutely.
They didn't find that out until after 9/11.
Yes. It's fascinating also that there are so many gay Arabic linguists. Clearly, and since there are no gay Arabs.
What's the deal with
I'll
that?
Tell you what, I'll tell you what the deal is, because there's a ton of homosexuality in the Middle East, and they never talk about it.
Why are there such cunning linguists? That's what we want to know.
Have you ever seen the Afghani bro pictures? Have you ever seen this?
No.
Because women are segregated, and because you have to have, dad's permission to even, look at the knuckle of the girl you're interested in, the men kind of group together in little pairs. And this one dude becomes your best buddy in the field, as it were. And they often, they often take pictures together as commemorative pictures of you and your best bro, as it were. And they wear rouge and lipstick and have full beards, which is the great. And they look like, there's a tranny, diner on Santa Monica Boulevard, the Yukon Mining Company.
Closed down.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah.
But it was one of the four places in L.A. that were just open past 11.
The economy
11.
Has even touched the tranny diner segment.
And they would waddle in sweatpants with full makeup on and, 9 o'clock shadow. It was, but that's what it looks like and stuff. And then that
that's
woman,
when we know we've really hit the skids when the tranny diners are going
so
out of business.
Sad, but they had to grow their beards back and go back to work.
Yeah.
I suppose you couldn't no leisure time. But do you notice the Afghan people? They do this big thing. There's no gays. We don't have any gays. There's not any gays in here.
Yeah, I'm a dinner jacket said that there's no gays in Iran.
Yeah, there's no gays in Iran, which is what you say when you're surrounded by them.
Gays.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, we don't have that here.
Yeah. Mm-mm. You say, gays, what's that? When there aren't any. When you say, there aren't any gays here, you mean you.
42 minutes after the hour. Speaking of Iran, we will talk to Hal and you about that next as we continue on.
Wear green. Wear green in solidarity.
Woo-hoo! Go green. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. My dirty little secret. Don't tell anyone, or you'll be just another regret.
My dirty little secret. Who has to know? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Chris in Yankton. Oh, he has very kindly sent us a soundbite to... basically sums up the Republicans' health care plan for you.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
All right.
Bring me a knitting needle.
Pam in Santa Rosa on health care. Hey, Pam.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, you mooks.
Yes.
Hello.
I was at one of those June 6th healthcare meetings, and the overwhelming consensus was for single payer. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I said,
you know what? Ed Schultz was just in Buffalo this weekend. Same thing. He had a whole meeting. I mean, and if you look at the polls, Pam, that's what people want. And the Democrats, they're scared to even do a public option, apparently.
But I got to say, I said the same thing during the meeting that Heidi Ho said, which is that if, you know, we get this option that I'm going to cancel my health care and go on the government plan because I'm a self-employed. I'm tired of being robbed every month for health care.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably put these large insurance corporations out of business. But why should I have to pay for something they want? Chris, get your crying baby ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Why should we have to pay through the nose so these, you know, people who can't afford this kind of health care, they get what they want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much all I have to say, except that you look great on Ed last night. Oh, if Ed had a white beard and Ann Coulter was on instead of that rice guy, it would have been like Christmas. We would have had Santa and ho, ho, ho.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Pam. Pam did a little listener gamity.
Aw.
Some gamity.
All right. It's fascinating to me that they're going, you know, this will ruin these companies, you know. You know what? I think really if the companies had been so great all along and hadn't been kicking people off the rolls and denying care and actively, you know, forcing people into, you know, not getting life-saving operations and medications, then maybe we wouldn't even be arguing about this at this point.
Right.
If they had made it affordable.
Heidi Ho, who I was on with, she said, you know, again, who knows? Like, they did it. There was one recent analysis, and I don't know who's right. I mean, I don't think any of us are experts in what's going to happen in the long term, but a recent analysis was saying basically what she was saying, that it'll swamp, everybody will choose that one, and so then the insurance companies look a wonder. The analysis also found, though, that a public plan that was only open to individuals and small business would have much more limited consequences for private insurers and could reduce significantly the number of uninsured. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the point. We got to get 50 million people insured somehow.
Well, and also, you know, you always have the ability to buy what really will take off is like your Aflac, which is your supplemental insurance.
Aflac.
That's where the money is being made now anyways. These corporation that you work for offers some sort of insurance.
Right.
But it's not enough. It's not passed, you know, it only covers up to 1.5 kids and all that kind of business. And so you buy Aflac or one of these secondary insurers to fill out the gap. You know, and people do that anyways with Medicare, with all these, you know, Medicaid prescription drug additives.
Benefit plans. Kind of,
absolutely. Yeah. And that's where they will move to and make their money.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they will cease to exist. It's just that it will become much more centralized. And they won't have these big blanket insurance companies that don't fight tooth and nail not to pay for anything.
Right. Yep. Andrew Sullivan heard from his cousin. He studies in Tehran at a university there about because the situation is. How about those elections in Iran? Huh?
It's amazing because
quite a result.
It's it's really sad that people are getting shot, but it's kind of first of all stunning. All the things we find out in Iran because now people want to see footage of this, which is the best part of this. Aren't they amazingly dressed? First of all, let's look, you know, when America is presented with pictures of foreign countries, a lot of times our media makes it look like everyone's just like covered in sand
and a burqa.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's all it is. And they're just running down the streets in designer jeans with these amazing t-shirts. Like they jumped out of an Abercrombie & Fitch ad, picked up a Molotov cocktail and started running. It's kind of amazing. You're like, wow, they do like the West.
Yeah.
Those are Rocket
they
Republic
really
jeans.
And it's a very young country.
75% of the populace under 25 years of age.
Anyway, Andrew Sullivan has the following report from his cousin about Iran. He said, life has come to a halt. There were at least 2 to 3 million in the streets today. I've never seen such anger. We're not going to let this go. They've closed all the universities during final exams and started a purge. Many of our professors are missing. Mm. Student organizers are moving constantly to avoid detainment. The police are just watching. The army has declared neutrality. The violence is 100% caused by BASIJ. And thugs who are roaming the streets, they seem to be targeting girls, swinging with clubs and chains.
Oh.
It's disgusting, but we are protected by numbers. Get the word out. The more of us stand together, the safer each individual will be. The reports of the university attacks yesterday are true. We don't know yet how many were hurt or killed.
There was a 5-mile-long protest in the streets yesterday.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yep.
But in the words of John McCain, we have to act.
Yeah, yes. I was going to say, what do you mean by that? He says, obviously, the election's a sham. Well, like Obama said, what are we supposed to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't...
We need to move in. I think
go in there with tanks? And...
I suggest send him. he's all worried about the economy. Just give him a coach ticket and no visa.
You can go in and tell really long stories that go nowhere.
Absolutely.
No, don't tell the Onion Belt. If he told them the Onion Belt story, perhaps they would do a revote.
Right.
Oh, my God, please stop.
Just go away.
Bush kids like
no.
We used to.
Okay, we'll have a new election.
We have our ways.
We'll have a new election.
Well, you've got it. But trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere.
Oh, no. All right, we'll revote. Okay. Gordon Brown, British Prime Minister.
The Iranian people are proud people who deserve democracy. And that is why the regime must address the serious questions which have been asked about the conduct of the Iranian elections. The way the regime responds to legitimate process will have implications for Iran's relationships with the rest of the world in future.
Okay, first of all, when did Gordon Brown become Darth Vader, or why is he talking to us from the other side? Like, I mean, is he talking to the Parliament from a mirror?
Welcome. Yeah. Ask me your questions. I shall tell you no lie.
Yeah, he has a little more bass in his voice than Tony Blair did.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Angela Merkel, who has much more bass in her voice,
talked
about Iran being all backed up with irregularity.
We're concerned about the restrictions on media reporting, and we believe that there should be a transparent examination of election results because there are arguments that there were irregularities.
Thank you.
They need more fiber.
Yes,
in their elections.
Well said. Well, way to wrap that up. There were irregularities. It went from almost neck and neck to a 79-30.
Yeah.
Zone.
And all the challengers lost in their hometown.
Exactly.
Like, oops.
Yeah.
He won in a landslide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That doesn't sound very. Saddam? What was his name again?
Exactly.
And the mullahs are planning a recount or whatever, but only just a few ballots.
Right.
They're not planning a recount of all the ballots.
I prefer to call them the mullahs.
Until this keeps going and it actually, puts the supreme leader actually in danger.
Yeah.
That's really what's happening.
Right.
Is the young population is really starting to question why we have anyone called a supreme leader.
Right.
Pretty much if you live in a country, obviously George Bush thought that of himself. But he never had it officially stamped on his desk.
Now, if we could just get the British to realize that they're ruled by a supreme leader.
Exactly.
The Queen.
The Queen.
Yes. She holds power over the Prime Minister.
How do make honey?
Speaking of things that John McCain said yesterday, I want to get your take on him saying he demanded that Leon Panetta retract the comments about Dick Cheney.
Right. His reading of Dick Cheney's remarks and saying it almost sounds like he would want us to get attacked.
Yes.
Which, if you listen to what Dick Cheney says... It sounds like he absolutely wants us to get attacked.
I mean, this is the same play he's been running. Terrorists will kill you if you vote for John Kerry.
Absolutely.
Terrorists are going to kill you now that you voted for Barack Obama.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what he's saying.
Absolutely.
And somebody pointed out, remember the McCain advisor in the middle of the campaign speculated a terrorist attack would be good for John McCain's campaign.
Yeah.
They were hoping for it. I mean, they were literally the Georgian military situation. They were like, ooh, good. Russia's moved into Georgia. Yeah. Now he can look all military.
This is the problem. I was saying this earlier, whether it's healthcare or the economy in general or a terrorist attack. I mean, that's their only game plan right now politically is that things go badly
right.
for America.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So things go better for them politically.
Yeah. That's what the PNAC, that their actual mission statement actually argued for the fact that, we need something big and awful to help. That will help us
right.
the most.
Right. Mary in Seattle with a gaze in the military story. Hello, Mary. Mary?
Hi,
go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to tell you a don't ask, don't tell horror story. I had a friend in the Marines, and she had a commanding officer make a pass at her, a female. And when she refused that, the commander started a don't ask, don't tell investigation on her.
Oh, yikes. That is a horror story.
Yes.
That's wow.
Wow.
Well, because she asked, and she said...
Computer says no.
No, so... See, that's the problem with abuse of that kind of thing. Well, somebody made a good point earlier. Like, if the first part of it is don't ask, how are all these people getting discharged?
Right, yeah.
You're not supposed to ask.
The don't tell part is the... It should be don't ask, don't answer, for one. Right. I suppose.
None of your, it should be none of your business.
Right.
Can we change it officially to
absolutely.
That? Absolutely. Okay. HowSparks.com is where you find out about all things Hal Sparks. Hal will be in Texas.
Yeah, in Austin, Texas, at Cap City Comedy. It's very exciting.
Yeah,
all
right. Yeah. Yeah. The funny kind of comedy.
Yeah. The one island of sanity in all of Texas.
Exactly.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.